So, here it is, the last sitting of the year. Can you all hear me? No. Okay. I think I'll just hold it. Okay. It's cold. There's a draft. It's all right. It's bearable. So last week, we were talking about our inner Buddha seed. That we water every time that we remember to come back to just being present. And I was reflecting this past week, what is a Buddha seed? What are you talking about? And I was thinking that all of us in this room have more than just a seed. We've been watering it for some time. We've been on journeys both around the world and interpersonally and within ourselves and with different practices from infinite traditions. And we have grown some roots to this seed. And it has the beginning of a trunk. And I can feel it in the room when we sit together. It's so quiet. There's such a beautiful, concentrated presence that we all generate when we're together, meditating together, that I trust that this is true. But what is this Buddha seed? We can call it a Christ seed, we can call it a Muhammad seed, we can call it a seed of anything that we revere or that we call, that we consider holy or infinite or transcendent. But as I was reflecting on it all this week, it occurred to me that the essence of the Buddha seed inside of all of us is vast, infinite emptiness. That is what we are watering when we come back to the present and just practice mindfulness in this moment, just this breath, just this moment. And a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting practicing with a Tibetan master who lives in Italy, very sophisticated man. And he promised to expound to us as a group a great mystery, which is such an esoteric teaching that we had to swear that we would not repeat it. But I'm going to repeat it tonight. And if I am struck by lightning, you know why. I, of course, have forgotten the complicated Tibetan phrase that describes this truth. But this teacher claimed that this was the core truth in Buddhism, whether it's the Hinayana, the Mahayana, the Vajrayana, or any yana on the planet. The core truth of everything is that if we're considering ourselves, if we're considering each other, if we consider the world, the galaxy that we live in, the universe that this galaxy participates in, the hidden universes, the contemporaneous universes, all the infinite universes that one can imagine, not any element of any of that has substantial existence. It is all impermanent. So it's not just us who are impermanent. It's not just our lives and our world that are impermanent. Everything is substantially insubstantial. So when we talk about our inner Buddha seed, it is a portal into the experience, the immediate and direct experience of that vast emptiness as represented by our vast emptiness inside ourselves, the core, the essence of who we are, is empty. Emptiness that can also be described as infinite fullness. And when we practice, I trust that we've all touched that experience of being so present with our minds going quiet, awareness dropping into the body, recognizing the embodied quality of what we call this state being alive. And the limbic part of the brain, our amygdala, relaxes, stops ejecting all those hormones so that our emotions, our feeling tone, our excitability is all relaxed, expanded, quieted down. And in that space, we can experience the fullness of emptiness. I know this sounds contradictory, but I think you understand what I'm referring to. And that fullness of emptiness is so pleasant. It's so delicious. It's so transcending at the same time that it is so real and immediate. That is the seed of the Buddha that we all carry within us. And when we quiet the mind and embody the body and quiet the stimulation and excitation of our brain, we become more human. And we cultivate very, very naturally self-arising qualities. We become expansive. We become more loving. We become more gentle. We become friendlier to ourselves and to others. We become more empathic, more compassionate, more energized, wiser, more insightful. All the paramitas, all the fruits of practice arise spontaneously, naturally. And the happiness that is sustained in that process is so sweet, it doesn't touch the kind of happiness that we strive for and race towards and work to achieve. It is so essentially sweet that it allows us to connect to something that we can call being youthful, being free, being inspired to just be. We don't have to chase anything. We don't have to be anyone. We don't have to do anything. So the more that we rest in this place, the stronger that seed becomes, grows deep, strong roots, nice, strong trunk, outstretched limbs, leaving, fruiting, flowering everywhere that we go. Everything that we touch is blessed. There is no greater blessing than that. And it depends on nothing other than our being willing to come back, always come back. Wherever we wander, we discover ourselves out there, and we say, great, and then we come back. So, discovering ourselves in all the places that are not centered in the present, it's important for us to also practice releasing judgment. Practice what some teachers call radical self-acceptance. Whatever we find in our minds and hearts and bodies at any given moment is just that. Nothing to be judged, nothing to be critical about, nothing to feel bad about. Just note it and then understand. Waking up from that is a moment of Buddhahood. The Buddha, the word Buddha, means awakening, the awakened one. Every time that we wake up from a trance, we are being the Buddha. Coming back to the present moment, we strengthen it like a muscle, get stronger every time that we do it. Our tendency to wake up is more immediate, more natural, occurs more often. I know that you've experienced this. Most of the time, what happens with me when I wake up, I'm noticing that my mind is telling me a thousand things. It's like a radio is always on in my head. So being able to create some kind of inner silence is an incredible refuge. But if we notice what it is that we're telling ourselves, is it true? Is it fanciful? Is it inspiring us to be more basic, more fundamentally loving, more accepting, less judgmental? Or is it just continuing this process of torment? Not good enough, not done this right. And I notice within myself that the essential core of how I torment myself and busy my head is in reflecting on the projection that I have about others projecting on me. And reflecting on it, it really got to be hysterically funny because, after all, talk about a hall of mirrors, right? Lost in delusion. Rewriting something that I just experienced with a person or with a group. Editing something that I just did. Wondering how somebody else is thinking of who I am. This is the predominant concern of my mind. So noticing it, I thought, wow. If I can just drop it, what would be left? How would I feel? I'd feel so much more easeful, less harangued by concern and worry and doubts and fears and self-hatred. Because it is an expression of non-acceptance. We don't know how other people experience us. There's no way that we can track that. No way. And we don't know how they think that we think about them, although they're doing the same thing that we're doing simultaneously, which is a curious way of trying to achieve friendship and intimacy. But it seems to be the trap that we humanoids are in. So I know it's not yet the time for resolutions, but I made that resolution this week to myself that I would catch myself being in that hall of mirrors and say, oh my God, just drop it. Just drop it. Free yourself of that torment. Because there's absolutely no insight, no truth, no real understanding in that direction. So I thought I would tell you that just in case you have the same thing going on. I think that we're really fearful of being quiet for too long. And maybe it's got something to do with our fear of extinction. But we have to extinguish all this inner activity before we can drop into this infinite emptiness, which feels so expansive and so wonderful. So it's kind of like being in a swimming pool and learning to swim from one side to the other. You have to let go of one end before you can swim to the other. So we have to be willing to let go of some of this inner commentary, continual commentary, so that we can fall into the infinite. Ironically, that's what we all want and long to experience. That's why we go to the movies, that's why we eat, that's why we get entertainment, possibly why we have sex. We want to fall into the infinite, where so much expansive, essential, sweet liberation exists. And when we fall into the infinite, fall into the Buddha seed, we fall into the truth that nothing, absolutely nothing that exists in all the realms, both seen and unseen, is permanent. I think the reason that this Tibetan teacher told us this and cautioned us before he told us this was he was afraid that we would become anxiety-ridden at the thought of it. This is the truth. There's no God, there's no angels, there's no afterlife. There's all those things. There's God, there's angels, there's many afterlives. But none of the things that exist are essentially substantial. They're all prone to change. And our courage lies in being able to let go of all of that once in a while and just stretch out in emptiness, like stretching out on a hammock, an infinite hammock where the air is the perfect temperature, our bodies are relaxed, our minds are quiet, and we seem to disappear except that awareness is still there. So awareness without any coloring, without any content, without any direction or element of time, just space, when we rely and rest in that awareness, we are as blissful, as happy, as fulfilled as we'll ever, ever, ever achieve doing anything else. And every now and then, as we sit with our bodies cranking and our minds screaming, every now and then we touch into that space. That's the reason for this practice. That's the reason for this posture. That's the reason that people have been doing this not just for the last 2,500 years, but eternally. And not just people. All creatures seem to like to space out by going in. So here we are in the gulch of the year, the darkest time, shortest days, longest nights, hibernation time. In Southeast Asia, the rains last for 3 whole months. And so in the different monasteries, they have 3-month retreats traditionally, January, February, March. A great time to go in, call everything off, shut down your shops, tell your families you'll be back in 3 months. Tell the mailman to hold the mail and just take refuge, inclining into that inner sanctum, that inner emptiness where we touch everything. Everything that exists is in us. And everything that exists is profoundly empty. And that is the refuge that the Buddha was talking about. The transcendence that Christians talk about. Everybody who has any kind of holy practice reaches for this space, what the Tibetans call the bodhicitta, where the mind and the heart meet. The heart, the mind gets quiet, and the heart expands. So in a way, the Buddha seed is our heart. Is the heart of being. The heart of our being. The heart of all being. A sense of ease where we can just, as Christians say, be love. That's really what this time is about. The light in the middle of this darkness is love. Impersonal, free of any boundaries or commitments, just expansiveness in the midst of this state we call being alive. And one of the great liberators about this state is we are in a spacious state, but we are free of time. There is no time. There is space, infinite space, but time is something that it's like a highway that we're constantly driving on. From the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep, and in our dream time as well. Time is a grand illusion, and we long to be liberated from the highway of time. And my experience is that this is the only way towards that liberation. It's a refuge from the highway of time, where we can be still, we can be silent, and we can just be. And it's perfectly fine, and it's just enough. It's time for me to be quiet and to listen to some of you. If you have questions, comments, share your wisdom. This is your moment. We have 10 minutes. sometimes when I'm sitting, I have songs, you know, songs from the past come back. And one of the things that was in my head this evening was a song by Bob Dylan called Forever Young. Such a beautiful, beautiful prayer. And there's a comment in that, may you stand strong and be rooted when the winds of changes come. I think, oh, he was doing this a long time ago. So maybe being quiet means that you're still and you're touching that heart of Buddhism inside of you. You don't want to talk, that's perfectly fine. Being the end of the year, one of the things that the media do, and maybe something that we might do for these last few minutes, is remember some of the beings that have died over the last 12 months that were treasures for our culture, treasures in our personal lives, even here in this group. So I thought that we might take a few minutes and in a very low voice just call out the names of those beings that have passed and give them a hail fellows well met. They're being in another realm. They're adventuring past embodied experience. Very special, special place. Mysterious place. So for just a few minutes, I will ring the bell, and then I'll give all of us a chance to name the names of those creatures that have passed from our lives. 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and then I'll ring the bell again. And we can fill this hall with their spirit and their presence and our gratitude. Robin Williams, Joe Cocker, come on, Leo, my dog, Peter O'Toole, may you be peaceful. May you all feel the liberation of light and timelessness and space. Lois, Tim, Harry, and at the end of the year, let's just reflect with gratitude all the gifts that we have been given. All the generosity that has been exchanged. all the insight and wisdom that has touched the shores of our being from countless eons of time and beings who have traveled this path of discovery. And appreciation for our parents for giving us the opportunity to have this incredible experience of being alive. And our partners and our lovers, our teachers, all the enrichment from every corner of the universe that has met up with us at one time or another, and especially when we needed it most. All the respite from desperation. All the miracles that were unexpected but showed up. And may we in turn share this with each other, expressing our appreciation through generosity, open-heartedness, sweetness of heart and mind and actions, so that when we make contact with the world feels the resonance of our practice and our insight and the fruition of what we cultivate here, shared freely and generously with all beings, whether seen or unseen, in all the realms. May we and all beings know the causes and conditions of easefulness and joy. May we and all beings avoid the causes and conditions of suffering and ignorance and darkness. And most of all, may we and all beings in all the realms know the causes and conditions for that which has no cause and no condition, and swim leisurely and ecstatically in liberation.
See you next week.